Hey there, everyone. Happy Friday. It is July 29th here on Speak Now Pro Wrestling. I'm your host, Denise Salcedo. And as you guys know, Fridays, we got double dose of action, both from the WWE side of things with SmackDown and AEW Rampage. We got 3 hours of wrestling to talk about here today. And things are already kind of shaking up a little bit. So if you are a person that has been continuously listening to these Friday post shows, the last couple of weeks, one of my biggest, and I mean biggest, critiques of SmackDown has been that it has not been good, right? And obviously now we have, you know, changes, things are happening. Slowly but surely, we're starting to somewhat start to see a little bit of a difference. I will tell you this. This is, I think, like the first time on this show that I actually enjoyed SmackDown more than I did AEW Rampage. Crazy. I know. Bonkers, right? We'll get into that in just a second. Already starting off with these hot takes, but legitimately, I thought that SmackDown was a good show. It wasn't a great show, but given the recent back-to-back weeks of the SmackDowns that we have been getting, already today, it did feel like a huge improvement, at least in certain areas. I thought that the first hour of SmackDown flew by so fast, and I'll go ahead and talk about that in just a second. But before I do, just a little bit of heads up before we get into everything. I want to make sure that you guys know what's going down the next week or so here for me on this channel. So as you guys know, I'm usually live Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Next week, I will be gone the entire week, everybody. For those of you who do not know, I'm getting married on Sunday, the day after SummerSlam. On Sunday is my wedding. And so Monday, I leave to Hawaii on my honeymoon, my 1 week of vacation. And I will be back Sunday, which means I will be back to work Monday morning. So you will be, I will be missing in action for an entire week here on F4W, but don't worry, I will be back the following week. So if you're like, damn it, Denise, the show is canceled or something like that, no, I will be back the following week, just so you guys know what's going on. Tomorrow, I will be doing, I will still be doing the SummerSlam post show over on Fightful. So that will be my last official stream of this week. But before we get into everything, before we talk about what went down on SmackDown and on Rampage, just a heads up, if you guys want to help support this show, help just get me, keep me funded here on F4W, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat. If you do send in a super chat, you do get your question, comment, or statement read on this stream. And again, does help me out, does keep me funded. But let's go ahead and get started here, everybody, because there is a lot happening to talk about. Brandon wants to know if I'm going to be streaming during the honeymoon. No, definitely not. You know, part of me thought about it because I consider myself a workaholic. Like, I'm a workaholic, and I've come to realize this now. I don't like to take time off. I feel guilty whenever I don't work. I don't like every time when I'm not working, I feel this tremendous amount of guilt, like I should be doing something. And obviously that's not very healthy for me, but regardless, I'm a workaholic and I thought about doing a stream from Hawaii, but I'm like, nah, you know what? I should enjoy myself for like once in my life for this week, not have to worry about work or anything like that. So don't worry, I will be back to workaholic Denise and immediately after that. So no worries. All right, guys, let's go ahead and jump right into SmackDown. We're going to kick things off with that because there was a lot that I kind of felt went down on the show, and we actually got started in a way that was the best thing. Like, this match that we saw to the opening of this show for SmackDown was the best match that I have seen on SmackDown, God, in months, okay? And I'm talking months. I don't remember exactly. Oh, you know what? Actually, hold on. Let me rephrase that. Because as I was saying it, I started thinking, okay, I know exactly what match. The last match that I really, really liked was Roman Reigns versus Matt Riddle. Roman Reigns versus Matt Riddle was, I still think, way better than this match than the Sheamus Drew McIntyre match. Roman Riddle was really phenomenal. So aside from that match, I do not remember the last time I really enjoyed a match on SmackDown. And this was it here today. It wasn't Roman Reigns Riddle level to me, at least in my opinion, because I did like that one a whole lot more. But this one here was very entertaining. And given the fact that I kind of went into this thinking, well, you know, I've seen Drew McIntyre and Sheamus go at it several times before. This is absolutely nothing new. You know, they feuded for such a long time over on the Raw side of things that I kind of just felt like I wasn't really that person that was interested in this. And basically, this was a good old-fashioned Donnybrook match. And so obviously, you know, they had like the big giant shillelaghs. They had like barrels. They had a framed picture of Sheamus and a bunch of other little stuff, flags and everything surrounding the ring. But I think what made this match fun, first and foremost, they gave it a lot of time. This was about 25 minutes of the show. Now, for those of you who have been consistently watching SmackDown, you will know that we get so many like short, brief matches, and we get like random endings, like we get like DQs and countouts and all of these goofy stuff. And we don't always get a lengthy match where they actually do stuff. So this was really great. I really like this. So they used a lot of the weapons that were surrounding the ring. So, you know, this was supposed to be a straightforward match. You know, you want to add this element of fun to it with the Donnybrook, old-fashioned Donnybrook stipulation. And they did that. They did just that. We saw Sheamus hit Drew with the shillelagh multiple times. We saw Drew do a DDT on Sheamus onto a pile of chairs, which I really liked that spot, especially because immediately after that, we got a near fall. We got a couple of near falls in this match. Again, we don't always, believe it or not, we don't always get stuff like this on SmackDown. We have Ridge Holland coming in. He basically gets involved. He hits Drew with a shillelagh, and then Sheamus gets him with hits Drew McIntyre with a knee, and then we got another near fall. We see Drew end up putting Ridge Holland through a table, a nice little moment there. Then out of nowhere, this was really cool because we had the focus on Drew McIntyre after he had just put Ridge Holland through the table, and there was like this big stack of barrels, like I think like three or four really large barrels over to the side. And then out of nowhere, you know, we all of a sudden see Butch's like body fly into the shot. So basically he jumped off or leaped off of the barrels and we didn't even see it. He just landed, but you knew that he came off of the barrel. So it was kind of a cool little spot that they did there with Butch. This was the first time that I was interested in the pairing of Sheamus, Butch, and Ridge Holland. This was the first time that I felt like, okay, you know, we're getting, obviously, you know, they're heels and they're going to be doing things a certain way. And this was the first time that I legitimately felt interested, where I liked the dynamic where you have Butch just coming out of nowhere, butting into this match. Same with Ridge Holland. I appreciated all of this little things here. From here on out, you know, we did see Sheamus hit the white noise, but again, we got a near fall there. We see Drew hit both Butch and Sheamus with like a this really, really long shillelagh, okay? More than 6 inches, like 6 feet or something. I don't even know, but it was huge. Drew hit the Claymore on Butch, and then immediately after, Sheamus gets Drew McIntyre with the bro kick. And then I thought it was over there, but we ended up getting another near fall afterwards. We end up seeing Drew put Sheamus through a table and Drew ends up winning this match. But they really did a lot. They had a lot of these moments where you legitimately thought the match was going to be over. And the fact that they kept it going, it just like, given how rare this is on SmackDown, I think made it that much more special. And again, the incorporations of the weapons and just everything that they did, I thought was really, really good. So Drew McIntyre gets the win, which means he's now heading to Clash at the Castle, which we all pretty much figured, okay, it's going to be Drew McIntyre. I don't think anybody's really surprised that Drew McIntyre won, but he wins and he's either going to be facing either Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns, whoever wins from tomorrow's SummerSlam. That's who he will be facing at Clash at the Castle. So this is good. Immediately after, you know, he's cutting a promo, Austin Theory comes out. Theory comes out and he basically attacks Drew with the briefcase. Whatever. It's fine. I liked the match, and really that was what kind of made me just like happy. The fact that we got something like this on SmackDown, because again, it's been a long freaking time. So good opener for SmackDown tonight. We got a super chat from Darf Stevens 777. Thank you so much for kicking us off here with these. Darf Stevens says, early congratulations to the beautiful bride. I hope Sunday's the best day ever for you, Denise. SRS better come through with a good wedding gift. He actually already gave me a wedding gift, guys. He already gave me a very nice bonus on my Fightful paycheck. He actually gave me a bonus that was supposed to be for him, I think. He said it was supposed to be for him, but he gave it to me, which was really, really nice because, let's be real, I need it. So thank you so much to Darf Stevens 77 for the very kind super chat there. All right, let's go ahead. We got a super chat from Christopher S. who says, does size really matter in shillelaghs? It's funny. Shillelaghs is a fun word to say, but yeah, I would say so. It does matter because they were saying how like the sword, Angela, Drew McIntyre's sword was banned. Like he couldn't use it. Like it was not going to be incorporated into this match. So, and that's like, they said that his sword is 5 feet tall, which is literally my exact measurements. So might as well bring in the shillelagh that's 6 feet tall, according to commentary. I think that's what they said, 6 feet tall, which is bigger than the sword. So yeah, I guess it does matter in the story that they're telling here on SmackDown. Thank you so much to Christopher S. for also sending this in as well. Let's see what we got here. Let's get some comments and see what people are saying. This is from Fernanda, who says, this was the best opening to a random SmackDown I have seen in a long time. Congrats this Sunday. Thank you. I completely agree. One of the best openings for sure. Let's go ahead and see what else we got. We got the Kaya Put, who says a clean finish and a no DQ match. It was excellent. Cadillac Carson says the final match between Sheamus and Drew. Well, maybe not, but the match was good. I highly doubt it'll be the final one, but we got everybody pretty much putting over how good this match was and just pretty much saying they have good chemistry. And they do. They do have good chemistry with one another. We got a super chat here from iChurch Pastor Blaster. Dude, haven't seen you in a minute. iChurch Pastor Blaster says, God's richest blessings on your wedding's day. Thank you so much to iChurch Pastor Blaster. I appreciate you for sending in this very generous super chat and for coming back. It's been a while. I remember you. Like, I remember people, you know? If you guys come into the show, I'll make sure to remember. Dule Lamo says, can you say shillelaghs with a Spanish accent? I don't know how I would translate shillelaghs in Spanish. How would you say shillelaghs in Spanish? If I was telling my grandma, I'd probably be like, los shillelaghs, los shillelaghs. I'd be like, mira ma, los shillelaghs. I think that's how I would say it, but I don't even know if there's a way to actually translate shillelaghs into Spanish, but that's the way that I would say if I was trying to tell my grandma about shillelaghs or something. Andre says shillelaghs. I have no earthly idea what shillelaghs would be in Spanish. Legitimately no idea. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and move on from here. So overall, a good opening for SmackDown. I love it. Good direction there. I also loved this next portion. We got Baron Corbin, Happy Corbin, whatever the hell he's going by these days now. As we all know, he's going to be facing Pat McAfee over at SummerSlam tomorrow. And you know, I said this on my prediction show, but really the only reason I'm interested in this, honestly, is because I do like Pat McAfee. And so far, everything that he's done in WWE has been a hit, has been, you know, thumbs up everything that he's done. So he kind of has a little bit of a track record where I'm not expecting to be bummed out by any means for this match. I'm expecting it to be entertaining. So, you know, they're finding little ways. They've been finding little ways to, you know, obviously build this match while Pat McAfee does commentary. You know, Baron Corbin has came out and attacked Pat McAfee several times while he's on commentary. Pat McAfee has chased him. They've brawled backstage, this and that. And today they kind of did something that I thought was a little funny, a little cute. I liked it. I liked it. It was a little cheeky. I enjoyed it. So they had Corbin basically pretend that he bought a ticket to the show and he was sitting front row immediately behind the commentary table with a big sign that said loser, with a mugshot photo of Pat McAfee, and it said loser, and he was like holding it up and like heckling him. And so basically he was trying to get under his skin, and Pat McAfee was just, you know, there was a where So him and Cole had to run down some of the matches, and he couldn't even run down the matches because he could literally hear Corbin like hollering at him from behind the scenes, you know? So I thought this was really funny. It was a nice little way to just incorporate all of this. And then on top of that, finally, McAfee has enough and him and Corbin come face to face. And then we have the officials come running down. They try to separate them because Pat McAfee gets super pissed because Baron Corbin throws popcorn in his face. And that's basically what ends up triggering him. So they end up getting in a little bit of a fight there, but they get separated by the officials. So I like this. This was fine. He ends up getting a low blow, actually. Pat McAfee literally just Corbin kicks Pat McAfee right in the ball. And so it's really funny because you just see Pat McAfee on the floor holding his stuff and just like mouth all open in pain. Oh, it was great. Really good stuff there. So this is a dorky but funny segment. I appreciate it. Like when you're going to do comedy, this was fine. Like this was fine to me. Like this was a good little comedy bit that we got here. I enjoyed this. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and continue on from here and see what people are saying. This is from Christopher, who says, Corbin is such a rarity that he can actually taint the best thing in WWE has going for it lately. Pat McAfee, I thought Pat McAfee would be immune. See, I actually liked this. Did you not like it? I thought it was fine. It was cute. It was okay. I mean, he's just heckling the guy, gives him a low blow. Whatever, pisses him off. And, you know, obviously Pat McAfee is bound to be getting his revenge, his payback tomorrow. I think that's where we're leading things up to. So hopefully, and like Andre Villarone says, a good throwback to SRS. For those of you who do not know, I got to give Sean Ross Sapp a low blow at GCW. I showed my grandma and my mom that, by the way. They loved it. They loved it so much. Although my grandma, so she knew like ahead of time that I was going to be doing that. And she was not too happy, guys. Like she gave me the speech, the basically every speech that every Spanish mother gives to their daughters and sons, the don't do this, it's dangerous, you're going to die. According to my grandma, I was going to die because I was going to get into the GCW ring. I'm like, grandma, I've gotten into the GCW ring a bunch of times. And she's like, yeah, but the wrestlers are going to hit you. And I'm like, grandma, the wrestlers are not going to hit me. My grandma lives in fear that the wrestlers are going to hit me. And I have to keep telling her that's not how it works. That's not what's going to happen. So anyways, just a little side note about grandma and GCW. All right, moving on from here, we got Shotzi versus Aaliyah. And for those of you who are wondering, Aaliyah and Shotzi, what? Because the match that we've been promised for the last, not one, but 2 weeks is actually Aaliyah versus Lacey Evans. It's not that we're really heartbroken or anything like that. I don't consider myself gypped or anything like that. I'm perfectly fine that we didn't see the match, but this is a match that has been promoted for like 2 weeks already. But they basically said that Lacey Evans is not medically cleared. Take that for what you will. And instead we got Shotzi versus Aaliyah. Now, unfortunately, this match was a little bit rough. It was a little bit rough. It looked like an NXT 2.0 match. So this match was not the greatest. They had one good spot, which was Aaliyah's Meteora. I thought it was fine. It was good. It was whatevers. But I did notice, though, that I think, and, you know, I feel like, and this goes for everybody, guys. Like whenever you do something and then all of a sudden you have a bad day and things don't go well, it could kind of mess with your head, right? Like I've had these days where if I have a bad show, like if I feel I didn't do a good post show, I'll have a bad day for the rest of the night. I'll be like, damn, I didn't have a good show. You know, I didn't do good, or, you know, whatever. Like we're harshest on ourselves, right? Well, we haven't seen really much of Shotzi since Money in the Bank. And Money in the Bank, she got a lot of backlash and a lot of criticism after that match because of some of the botches that occurred during Money in the Bank. So part of me, and then there was the whole social media thing where she put out the statement and then it kind of backfired on her. And it was just like a lot that basically went down there with Shotzi, where I kind of feel like during this match, she almost kind of, I don't know if maybe the criticism got a little bit of the best of her, because I kind of feel like she looked a little bit off in the sense where she, like, her head wasn't like completely in the game. I don't know. Maybe it was just me. Maybe I was reading too much into this, but I did kind of feel like maybe her confidence was not fully there given everything that happened with Money in the Bank and all of that. That's kind of how I've read this match. Aaliyah, for the most part, you know, she's she is what she is in terms of like her in-ring work, whatever, right? But she was pretty like, okay, like, you know what? She was fired up. She was fired up for her match, but I don't feel we got the same thing from Shotzi here. So that was a little bit interesting, just kind of like reading into the dynamics there. Afterwards, she was, Shotzi was going to go ahead and, so Aaliyah defeats, excuse me. Shotzi wins this match. Shotzi does end up winning this match, but afterwards, she's going to cut a promo, but she's interrupted by Ronda Rousey. And then Ronda Rousey gets in the ring and she ends up yelling at a fan because a fan was, I guess, shouting something at her. I couldn't make out what he was shouting at her, but she basically told him to shut up and that their mom failed him. So that was really funny. And after this, we'll go ahead and talk about the Liv Ronda Sonya Natty match. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on from here. Liv Ronda, Sonya Natty, this was fine. This is okay. Basically, the story here, what we got from this is that we had to see if Liv Morgan and Ronda Rousey could coexist. You know, they're fighting each other at SummerSlam. And basically, Liv Morgan was trying to prove that she could win this match without the help of Ronda Rousey. And it ended up being that Ronda was the one that ended up getting the win for the team. I actually like this because I kind of feel that even though Liv Morgan is the champion, she still feels the need to have to prove herself. And she kind of still does. And so I feel like that's the story that they were telling here with this match, where it was like Ronda was the one that ended up getting the win because Liv Morgan wasn't the one that did it. So I feel like going into this match at SummerSlam, I hope that she kind of like, you know, proves Ronda Rousey wrong and this and that. So we'll see what happens there. But pretty much that's what went down for this. I like this. I thought this was perfectly fine. I also want to put over that Sonya Deville has probably some of my favorite gear right now. Her gear on SmackDown is probably my favorite. My most favorite, though, is actually from Tiffany Stratton on NXT 2.0. I actually think she has my favorite gear for the women. I'm talking about the women only right now. But anyways, there you go. That was that portion of SmackDown. Now, let's get into everybody's favorite. It is time. If you are a stan of the Maximum Male Models, this is it. This is your time to shine in the chat. Because you guys know I am not a fan of the Maximum Male Models, okay? I was here when they did that whole golf, tennis, I don't even know what sport it was anymore, that they were promoting the clothes and they did like a 20-minute, modeling show and this and that. I hated it. I hated it. It was god awful. Well, it turns out that a lot of people liked this. A lot of people are fans of the Maximum Male Models. Okay, so clearly I'm in the I don't know if I'm in the minority, but I'm definitely polar opposite of those that love this. Now, with that being said, we need to talk about all of this because Maxxine Dupri was basically, I believe it was last week, where it kind of seems like she was the person. We didn't see Max Dupri. We only saw Maxxine, the sister, apparently. And she was the one that was, you know, promoting and hyping up Maximum Male Models. Then, and I'm going to read this straight from F4W Online just so I don't mess this up. But here we go. PW Torch reported last week that Max Dupri, formerly Ally Knight from NXT, was out of his role in the Maximum Male Models after he reportedly, quote, rubbed some people the wrong way and wasn't fitting in. This is what the report said, that he wasn't fitting in and that he was rubbing some people the wrong way. Prior to resigning from WWE, Vince McMahon made the call to remove him as the mouthpiece of the group. It was said at the time that Max knew he was being replaced on the July 15th appearance of SmackDown when it was announced that his sister Maxxine would be introduced the following week, and she was. However, Vince is no longer, you know, head of creative. It's now Triple H. And so Max Dupri is officially back with Maximum Male Models. And now it's looking like the brother and sister together are going to be running maximum male models. Now, I will say this, in terms of like doing the modeling like live on the stage and doing this like pre-recorded video, I prefer the pre-recorded video than doing 20 minutes of the straight posing over on the stage. I prefer for them to do the editing because at least with the editing, you can get some funny stuff. You know, we got a lot of butt shots. I mean, this is not for me, guys. Like, this is not for me at all. We got a lot of butt shots. We got a lot of like, I don't know who this is supposed to be for. If the I don't know if the intention is for like us chicas who are watching SmackDown to be like, ooh, yeah, like look at them abs. Look at those butts. Look at those glutes. Look at all of that. If that's what the intention is supposed to be, then I'm clearly missing it. I'm missing the intention of what Maximum Male Models is supposed to be. My juices are not titillated, whatever the hell our juices are supposed to be. Tantalizing. Whatever the hell Max Dupree said. I'm not a Maximum Male Models fan, okay? Anyways, but I do prefer them doing this like edited backstage video versus doing it out on stage and wasting 15 minutes of my life. I will give credit to Mansoor and what the hell are they calling Mace? Mansoir? Whatever their new names are, I will give them credit. Because they are definitely pulling the Vogue looks. I mean, if they were on America's Next Top Model, I think Tyra Banks would definitely be applauding those two because they got the look. They got it going, man. So you know what? Kudos to them. After this is all said and done, I want to know like legitimately like how they feel about this, how they feel about this role. Because I'm sure, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I can't speak for them. I can't assume. But I am assuming a little bit. I'm assuming that they wouldn't be too crazy about it. I don't think I would be if I were any of these guys. I don't think I would be. But then again, I could be completely and utterly wrong and they may be having the time of their life. So we don't know. Anyway, so there you go. That's what's going on with Maximum Male Models. Let's see what else we got here and see what people, Christopher S says her juices are not tantalized. Tetrified? No, are they tantrified? No ideas. Fernando, thank you, Fernando. He says the male model's gimmick is trash. Thank you. Vance Rowling says bathroom break during this annoying bit. Yes, please. Thank you. But then there's people that like it. Like Brandon says, give it time, Denise. You'll come around. Nope, I'm out. I'm definitely out of this here. So I think some people either like this and some people don't. I'm on the don't. Andre says, MMM segments are so awkward. Glad Max Dupree is back, though. He's done good with the... He's done good with the voices. You know, the guy is good on the microphone. So he sells it. He sells it very well. Maxine's fine too. She comes across as those like really, and this is what she's supposed to come across as. So this is not a shot or anything. This is what she's supposed to come across as. She's supposed to come across as like those high end, really bougie, like sort of like a European vibe, like those like very like high end European ladies that are so fancy, you know, that's the vibe that she's supposed to give off. And I think that's kind of what she's giving off a little bit. And she'll work towards it. She'll get better. But regardless, it's just not for me. But I do realize that some people find it popular. But it's not for me. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and continue on from here. Xeno Hour just wants me to go on a freaking shoot right now. MMM and Chase U equals best factions. Dear Lord, why do you do this to me? Those are two things that I very much dislike. Very much dislike. All right, moving on from here. Let's go ahead and get into Viking Raiders versus the New Day. Viking Raiders get the win after hitting a double power bomb. Fine. They're the vicious Viking Raiders, by the way. They're vicious now because they got black makeup and they look like two men going through a goth phase. Anyways, but after the match, we end up seeing the Viking Raiders use their shields. And a chair, and basically use it to, Ivar ends up smashing Woods with the shield. He smashes them with the shield. And then they throw Kingston out of the ring, and they end up pulmonizing Woods' leg with the shield and the chairs and all of that. So that was a fine little spot that they did there. Cool, whatever. Nothing much else that I want to talk about in regards to that. I'm absolutely not interested in Viking Raiders or the New Day right now. It's not for me. Pyroplasma says, Miss Salcedo, I've done it. I've stopped racism. What? What do I get? What's the joke? I don't get the joke. Oh, man. I feel so bad. I'm sorry. I don't get the joke. Send it. Explain it. You don't have to send it in a super chat, but you can just explain the joke. Thank you so much to Pyroplasma. Sorry that I didn't get it. All right, let's go ahead and get into the closing of SmackDown. The closing of SmackDown, we had Paul Heyman essentially come out and do his special address. And basically all he does is talk about how Roman Reigns has been champion for 700 days and that he promises Roman Reigns would be the last man standing at SummerSlam in his match against Brock Lesnar. So very straightforward stuff, whatever. Brock Lesnar comes out and scares Heyman away, like just stares, runs him into the corner, all of that. Theory then runs out. He attacks Lesnar with the briefcase. Lesnar then gets him with a ton of suplexes. Fine, whatever. Drew McIntyre shows up, hits the Claymore on Theory. And then afterwards, to close out the show, we have a stare down between McIntyre and Lesnar, teasing the possibility that if Lesnar wins tomorrow at SummerSlam, that it'll be Drew McIntyre versus Lesnar. But clearly we do not know. We do not know who is. I have a feeling it's going to be Roman Reigns. I'm expecting Roman Reigns to win that last man standing match, but who the hell knows? I could be completely and utterly wrong. All right, guys, let's go ahead and continue on from here. Before we get into AEW Rampage, it's going to be a very quick review for AEW Rampage today, guys. I thought it was just like a generic show. Like there wasn't anything to, there's been better Rampages is what I'm trying to get at. Like this is the difference. Like the bar was really low for SmackDown. So anything that's like solid is going to really, really make a difference versus Rampage has had a lot of really good episodes. So when the episodes are like subpar, it's going to feel, you're going to feel the difference. You're going to feel the differences when Rampage is not, you know, the very best, right? Because we've had some really good episodes of Rampage, but this one to me was just not it. Anyways, but let's go ahead and get into really quickly before we get into Rampage. Let's go ahead and talk really quickly about Wrestle Rumble. So we are just about to be watching SummerSlam tomorrow. So this is legitimately your last chance, your last opportunity, your last call to head on over to WrestleRumble.com. Head on over there. And basically what it is you can purchase an entry. With this entry, you get yourself a form. On this form, you get asked a bunch of questions about what you think is going to be happening at SummerSlam. Some of the prop questions include, will the Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey match end in a pinfall or a submission? Will there be a Money in the Bank cash-in? How many suplexes will Brock Lesnar give Roman Reigns? All in good fun. Lots of very fun, exciting questions that you can go ahead and answer. And the person that ends up getting the most points, they basically end up winning. It's that simple. The third place winner will be getting a mystery crate. The second place winner will be getting $300. And the first place winner will be getting $500. Now, I would love any of these prizes, and if you just want to have fun and just add a little bit more, put a little bit have some stakes on the line while you're watching SummerSlam, feel free to head on over to WrestleRumble.com and enter their SummerSlam Pick'em contest. Once again, that's WrestleRumble.com. The contest is open. You can literally enter right now, and the cutoff time to enter is literally right before the pay-per-view. At 8 p.m. Eastern time is when the cutoff is. So as soon as the pay-per-view starts, that's your cutoff right there. Head on over to WrestleRumble.com, get your free entry, purchase your entry, and play the SummerSlam Pick'em contest. Last but not least, please hit up WrestleRumble on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, whatever your favorite platform is. Hit them up and let them know that you heard about them here on my podcast so that maybe they'll continue to sponsor me. Because I think as of right now, this is the last one for SummerSlam. So they've been my sponsors for a couple of months now. So please give them some love, guys. Shout out once again to WrestleRumble.com. All righty. Now let's go ahead and get into Rampage here today. All right. So Let's see what we got. Let me remove the porn bots, guys. Give me a second. All right, they're gone. Okay, so here we go. AEW Rampage. We opened up with Orange Cassidy and Best Friends versus Sanjay Dutt, Satnam Singh, and Jay Lethal. Sanjay Dutt, man, he cracks me up, man. He's funny as hell. He goes out there in his suit. He ends up mocking Orange Cassidy, doing the Orange Cassidy gimmick where he does the little kicks and he put his hands in his pocket and he's got the whatever attitude. Oh, I love this. And Orange Cassidy essentially retaliates by getting his pencil and breaking it, because we've been seeing Sanjay Dutt and his pencil has become a thing. So this was really funny, that little interaction that they had there. After this match, we ended up seeing Wardlow come out and essentially confront Sanjay Satnam and Jay Lethal. So it seems that they are definitely teasing Wardlow and freaking Satnam Singh. And Wardlow is a big guy, but he ain't Satnam Singh's size, man. That man is 7'2". Whether or not he could do the powerbomb on him, I don't even think so, but I don't know. I'm looking forward to that. If the fact that they're teasing it, period, is kind of exciting. So that's fine, whatever. But the match itself was pretty much just like a comedy bit for the show, with the best of being the Sanjay Dutt, Orange Cassidy stuff. I was a fan of that. That was perfectly okay. But anyways, that's pretty much what we had for the opening of AEW Rampage. After this, we had Leon Ruffin versus Ethan Page. Now, I do want to take some time here really quickly and talk about this one here, mostly because I want to talk about Leon Ruffin, who was known as Leo Ruff in NXT. So he was part of like the latter end of the NXT Black and Gold brand. And I was okay. So like his whole thing in NXT was interesting because he came in and he defeated Johnny Gargano and won the NXT North American Championship. And there were a lot of people that were like, what the fuck? They just did that. I can't believe it. Like people were legit pissed. Like, you know, it was a joke and this and that. I was like shocked, right? But even afterwards, though, I gotta tell you, there's a mosquito in here and it's flying around and I keep seeing it. Sorry, guys. I hate mosquitoes. They're gross as hell. And I just kept seeing it fly around. Anyways, but I, you know, when this whole thing happened, when he won the NXT North American Championship, it was completely, completely unexpected. But I kind of became a fan of his during the show because he has like this very like he's very fast. He's very fast in the ring. He does all of the high flying maneuvers and all of that good stuff. I thought for the most part, he was pretty entertaining on NXT. A lot of people, I think, weren't really taking him seriously, but I kind of felt I found him pretty entertaining on the show. There was something about him that I personally enjoyed seeing him. On top of that, I did get to do an interview with him a while back, and he has this very, very like happy personality. So I think that's another reason why I ended up really liking him. So I was happy that, you know, he's gotten a couple of opportunities here and there with AEW, with this being, I believe, the most high profile match he's had on AEW. I don't recall. Unless I'm missing another match. I don't recall seeing him in any other like really high profile match. This was as high profile as it gets for him here in this match with Ethan Page. But really, this was a quick match. Ethan Page gets the win. Perfectly fine. Ethan Page is somebody that we hardly ever get to see in singles action on Rampage or Dynamite. You know, for the most part, all the stuff that we've seen Ethan Page in has been, you know, the Men of the Year stuff, the Dan Lambert stuff, all of that. So he's usually been part of this, you know, entire group thing versus doing the single stuff. So he gets the win. Good. Perfectly fine. Okay. Decent stuff there. Alrighty. After this, we got Matt Sydal versus Lee Moriarty. This was okay. This was a decent little matchup that we got here. I think, I don't know. I just feel like maybe it felt like it was too far. Like, it wasn't that long. Let me see how long it was. So the Ethan Page, Leon Ruffin match was 1:31. Lee Moriarty and Matt Sydal was actually, it aired 6:57. seconds. It actually felt shorter than that for some reason. But for the most part, like, we got a couple of good moments. You know, Moriarty essentially like doing headbutts and suplexes on Seidel, coming back with a heinie and this and that. Seidel does execute his moonsault, his standing moonsault, excuse me, perfectly fine. Okay, good stuff. But what we do need to talk about is Stokely Hathaway. He comes out and he's observing this match, and they've been kind of teasing this with him and Lee Moriarty. And so Lee Moriarty gets the win here. And after this match, Seidel once again tries to give him his business card. And I believe this time he actually did take it. He accepted the business card. So it looks like he's going to be aligning himself with Stokely Hathaway. So I'm glad that they did this. I think that he is, he's such a great person on the microphone, Stokely. So I think that he'll add a lot to Lee Moriarty. And Lee Moriarty's a good talent. He hasn't had that match yet, that match that essentially elevates him into that next level. But he's still a pretty decent talent. So anyways, that's what we had with that. Nothing much to add there, guys, other than him aligning himself with Stokely. It's fine. Those bots are back. All right, let me block these really quickly. Let's get some thoughts here and see what people are saying about this. This is from Christopher, who says, good for Hathaway expanding his clientele. He's definitely been expanding that clientele. We got people saying that the Ethan Page Ruffin match wasn't good. I mean, there wasn't much. It was like, what did I just say? A minute or something? A minute or something of a match? Really nothing there. Really nothing there. But I could see him being like, I could see him. Someone just mentioned Ring of Honor. I could definitely see him being like somebody on Ring of Honor, Leon Ruffin. He could be one of those guys on there because he's talented. He's pretty talented. He's still a little bit like green and whatnot. Like, not everything he does is smooth, but I think he's got enough of what it takes. He just needs to smooth things out, you know? All righty. We got the Claudio Castagnoli promo. This all led to Wheeler Yuta versus Chris Jericho next week on Dynamite. So what they're going to be, I actually kind of liked the way that they did this, because when they had Claudio come out, he does his talking, Wheeler Yuta comes out, then Jericho comes out, and then we get some back and forth between Jericho and Yuta, because Yuta tells him like, oh yeah, I can beat you, this and that. And Jericho's like, no, you can't beat me. And basically he kind of tricks him. Not tricks him, but he kind of tricks him into basically practically begging him to give him a match, like having Chris Jericho practically beg Yuta to give him a match. And so he ends up getting the match. But what it ends up being, though, is that if Wheeler Yuta defeats Chris Jericho at Dynamite, he will replace Chris Jericho in that match with Jon Moxley for the interim AEW World Championship at Quake by the Lake. So Jericho put Jericho's so sure that Yuta cannot beat him that he put his match with Jon Moxley on the line. So that makes me wonder, like, are they going to change it to Wheeler Yuta versus Jon Moxley? There's a big part of me that thinks that they are. I legitimately think that they are, because why go about all of this if you're not going to do that? So I would not be surprised if we end up getting a Wheeler Yuta and Jon Moxley there. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. Let's get some thoughts in here. All right, let's see what people are saying. This is from the Kayaput, who says, Claudio's promo was good, but I got to tell you, I think Yuta is pretty bad on the mic. He can say the words, he just sounds awful. I don't think he sounds awful. Now, I don't feel that way about Yuta. I just feel like we're not used to really hearing him talk. Like, I don't recall really hearing him talk that much. Like, maybe, yeah, a few things here and there, but I just don't think we're used to hearing him talk. So it's like, fine. And the only way that he's going to get better is by actually doing it, right? It's the only way it's going to happen. Leonard Aarons III says, love Yuta prodding Jericho into a match. Yuta Jericho should be really good next week. Can't wait to see this live on my birthday. Well, happy early birthday to Leonard Aarons III. You've been a huge supporter here on this channel, and I see you. Happy early birthday, dude. Since I probably won't be here to talk about that for your birthday, so early birthday there. All right, let's see what I've got here. This is from Doppelganger 399. It says, great segment. Hope it is Yuta and Mox. All right, let's see what else we got here. This is from Pro Wrestling Fan who says, I'm not going to lie, they've been pushing Yuta and after Garcia beat Danielson, anything is possible. True. Pro Wrestling Fan also says, and Yuta versus Mox is a match a lot will want to see. And I can see Mox beating Yuta and Jericho gets the match at All Out. Yeah, they can push it. They can push it down and they could do this quake by the lake. I have a strong feeling that we are going to be seeing Mox and Yuta. All righty. So now, let's see what else we got here. We got the Acclaimed music video. So I liked that this music video wasn't just a music video to like basically bury the Ass Boys, but also it was a way to let us know the match that they're going to be having on Dynamite, which is going to be a dumpster match. I liked it because it was kind of revealed at the end, but the actual music video was fun. I think it's called Trash Day, or it's a Trash Day or something Trash Day. I don't know. Or it might just be Trash Day. And basically they're like dancing around the trash. They're dancing around the dumpster, this and that. And they had some really good lines in here. Like they had lines about, you know, them being like Marty Jannetty. They had lines about, they kind of incorporated gun control into the gun club. So they had like a little bit of like gun lines in there, but it worked for what they were trying to do. Basically saying that we want to get rid of these two guns that they're, I forget the actual quote, but they're, you know, relating it to gun control and saying they want to start off by getting rid of these two guns. So that was funny. They had a line about Amber Heard in here. And then eventually this all led to them revealing that there's going to be a dumpster match. I loved this. I would love to get more music videos with the Acclaimed. I love Max Caster's rap. So I'm always here for anything like that. I thought this was definitely a highlight of AEW Rampage today. Leonard Aarons III sends in a super chat. Thank you very much. Leonard says, Mox Jericho is probably happening. Jericho never got his rematch after he lost. A beating Yuta is a solid warm-up to get there, all told. I might have a feeling that they might be pushing it just a little bit. I don't know, man. I have this feeling like that it's going to be, that it's not going to end up being Jericho and Moxley. I don't know why. I just have that feeling. I have the feeling that that's the direction that they're going. But I could be wrong. We'll see. I feel like Jericho Moxley is definitely the bigger match, but there is, you know, the AEW fan base, I do think would love to see Yuta and Moxley, like for sure they would enjoy that, for sure. So, but I do think that they might be pushing Jericho and Moxley, we'll see. And this is just a way for them to actually do it and kind of get Jericho to be like irritated as hell that he put this match on the line and then he ended up losing it. You know, we got a super chat from Christopher S. Thank you so much to Christopher, who says, what's the best AEW title match for All Out? Mox Jericho seems the idea, but I think they swerve it into Mox Kingston or something. What would you do? I don't know, because it all depends, man. Like, we don't know. We're going to be seeing CM Punk come back. We don't know like exactly when he's coming back. Same thing for Kenny Omega. I just feel like there's a lot. I mean, obviously, if CM Punk does come back, then it'll be Moxley and CM Punk. But I feel like there's still so much that we don't know yet. Mox Kingston, I think, would be great. I would prefer to see Mox Kingston over Moxley and Jericho, I think. No, I'm wrong. No, I would like to see. I think I'm thinking about it. I think I'd be okay with either or, honestly. I'd be okay with either or. I don't think one of them would be like a make it or break it for me. I think I'd be like same reaction if it's Mox and Jericho and Mox and Kingston. I think I'd have pretty much the same reaction. Thank you so much to Christopher S. for also sending in this super chat. All right, guys. Last but not least, we had Anna Jay versus Ruby Soho. Fine little match here. I love the headbutts from Soho to Anna Jay. She was getting Anna with a couple of brutal strikes. One to the jaw, one to the midsection, all of that. There was a moment where Ruby goes off the top rope and tries to execute the senton, but Anna Jay moves out of the way. So Ruby just like lands like her lower, like her butt and everything just hits the mat. Oh, it looks brutal for Ruby Soho, but it looked fun for us. Not fun for her. Anna Jay ended up getting the win via submission, but this is because she did kind of cheat a little bit using the, oh my gosh, she used her little cast behind the referee's back. So good for Anna Jay, man. we've hardly get to see her in these, you know, matches in Dynamite or Rampage. So I was legitimately not even expecting her to win this match. I was expecting it to be Ruby Soho. I also liked Ruby Soho's line earlier when she was doing her little interview. She basically called the Jericho Appreciation Society the Circle Jerk Society. I really thought that that was really damn hilarious. But we literally saw Anna Jay and Jade. I think it was at Revolution. And then we ended up seeing her against Deeb and now this match against Soho. So we don't get to see her very often on these big shows like Dynamite and Rampage. So getting to see her in this match with Ruby Soho and actually get the win, even if it wasn't a clean win, I still thought was a little surprising and gave her a little something. So I was like, okay, switching things up. I'm cool with that. Definitely cool with that. We got a very generous super chat from Brandon Charles Powell. Thank you so much to Brandon, who says, hope your wedding day goes well. Congratulations. Thanks, dude. Thank you so much for sending in this very, very generous super chat. Seriously, thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. And let's go ahead and continue on from here, guys. Let's see. I think that's pretty much it. That's it for Rampage, guys. All right. So before I wrap things up, just a friendly reminder once again, guys, I will not be here this next week on F4W, and I will be back the following week. So I will be back on August 9th, I believe. So you will have a little break from me. I hope y'all miss me. keep an eye out on my Twitter. I will be posting my Hawaiian adventures because I will be going to Hawaii for the honeymoon. So I'll be posting my adventures from Hawaii there. So keep an eye out and I will be back in a week. So maybe when I come back, I'll get a massive pop. Hopefully. All right. Don't forget about me, everybody. I will see you back here on F4W in a week's time. I will see you tomorrow on Fightful for SummerSlam. And if not, keep an eye out on social media. And again, I will be promoting these streams once I'm back. So I will be back in a week. Thank you guys so much. I hope you guys have an awesome SummerSlam weekend. Bye, everyone.